What's God up to in your life? What's God up to in your life? Where is the Lord taking you? Are you going through a trial at the present? Garrett had no idea what the Lord had put on my heart to preach today. He didn't know about the selection of the music or him just praying just now, but God knew. And I want to preach today on the subject of faith put to the test. Faith put to the test. How many want to have greater faith? Let me see your hand. All right. You know what God's prescription for you is if you really want greater faith? Then there's trials you must go through and I must go through in order for us to have greater faith, greater vision, greater faith, greater influence, greater testimony, greater victory. But wait a minute, we all want the greater faith. We all want the greater vision to have hindsight, insight, and foresight. We all want to have greater influence, but often we really don't want to have to go through what we need to go through in order for our faith to be strengthened. And it just is absolutely necessary that you and I go through our fires of affliction in order to be purified and thus have stronger faith. Sometimes we don't understand what God's up to. Probably today you're here and you say, Lord, I don't really know why my prayers hadn't been answered like I've been asking you. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I don't really know why it seems like I take one step forward and two steps backwards. But it could be very well that you and I are enduring and going through a trial meant for our good, not for our bad. Again, sometimes we're not really aware of what's going on. It kind of reminded me of the lady that was helping her children cooking supper. She was fixing hamburgers and hot dogs, and so she got out the ketchup bottle, and the ketchup would not come out of the bottle, and so she just began to pat the bottle like so. And about that time, the telephone rang. She said to her younger daughter, her four-year-old, would you get that phone for me? The little girl picked up the phone, said hello, and a voice on the other end of the phone said, is your mama there? She said, yes, ma'am, she's here. She said, can I speak with her? She said, she's busy right now. The little girl did. And the lady on the other end of the line said, well, what's she doing? And the little girl said, she's hitting on the bottle. She's hitting on the bottle. Now, she didn't mean it that way, but that's how it came out. Sometimes we say the wrong things or we don't really fully understand what all God is up to in our life. But we're going to look at a familiar passage. Familiar with, and yet I believe the Lord has some things for us. I've been seeking the Lord this week, and for some reason or another, I believe that a lot of us are going through various trials in our life, and thus God is up to a work in our life, and you can be encouraged. Faith put to the test. I've said it before, and let me say it again. If I can get through it, I can get to it. If you can get through it, you can get to it. Say it with me. If I can get through it, I can get to it. Say it again. If you can get through it, I know I can get to it. And it's just getting through it. And the fact is right now, you're maybe in a storm or in a trial of your faith right now, but I've got good news for you. God is going to get you through it. I know you don't think you're going to get through it. I know you don't think it's going to end, but the Lord has said in His Word, He will be faithful to us because weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. And so here's where we're going. We're going to talk about a man that you're very familiar with and an account that you're very familiar with, none other than Job himself. And of course, you're familiar with all that he went through. None of us have experienced quite what he had, but yet I believe that the Lord wants to speak to us through his word, faith put to the test. And here's where we're going. There are primarily two parts to what we want to talk about today as we look in the text in a moment. And it's this, where is your faith going to be tested? Where is your faith going to be tested? And what should you do? Where is your faith going to be tested and what should you do? And then number two, when is your faith going to be tested and what should you do? Those are the two primary focuses we will have today as we consider faith put to the test. Number one, where is your faith going to be tested and what should you do? Number two, when is your faith going to be tested, and what should you do? I'm looking today at the book of Job, chapter 23. I want to invite you to turn to the book of Job, chapter 23, and find, please, verse number 10. The book of Job, chapter 23, and find, please, verse number 10. Our faith is going to be put to the test, and it is right now. Some of you are going through some issues in your life, maybe with your family, and you say, Lord, I just thought that you would answer this by now. I don't understand, Lord, what you're up to in my life, but maybe some physical ailments that you thought God would heal, and yet you're still facing some trials of your faith. I want to invite you to stand, please, if you'd like to, read the wonderful, infallible, inerrant Word of God in the book of Job, chapter 23. And I want to zero in on one verse, and then we're going to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, develop this thought that God had on my heart this week concerning our faith in Jesus, our faith in His promises, our faith in His Word, our faith in the person of the living God, and how God is going to use those things that you are or will be going through here in the near future for your good and for His glory. Verse 10 of chapter 23, if you're there, say amen. Job said it this way, but He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Let's say that together. Here we go. You ready? But He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Do you believe that, beloved? Do you believe that He knows the way that He knows what you're going through right now? Do you believe that He said He wouldn't put more on us than we can bear? That is a principle. That's not a verse per se in the Bible, but He did say He would be with us no matter what. He said, Job, that is, God knows the way that I take, and when He has tested me, I shall come forth like gold. I love this saying of A.W. Tozer. God never uses anyone greatly until He tests them deeply. God never, here, get this down. God never will use anyone greatly until He tests them deeply. And so it could be today that God has got a greater future for you, a greater plan for you, and yet in order for you and I to be more usable, how many want to be more usable? Let me see your hand. Oh, yes, we want to be more usable, but we really don't want to have to go through the stuff in order to get more usable. But it's an absolute prescription of God. You and I must go through the trials of affliction in order to get purified, to get all of self out and get Jesus in order for God to make us something valuable, more valuable than we really are right now, as far as usefulness for Him and for His glory. Let's pray together and ask God to help us as we apply this to our heart. And furthermore, let's ask God to help us to respond to Him as all of us have tests and trials and afflictions that we must face day by day. Father, thank You for this glorious presence, Lord, Your presence now. And Lord, I bless You now that You've ordained that we should come to this place. And God, I want to have an ear to hear what You're saying to me. And dear Lord, I pray You'll change my heart. You'll give me grace to be, like we sang a moment ago, like clay in the potter's hand. Father, I'm convinced You wouldn't have put this message on my heart unless there's a number of our people, or at least some, Lord, that are going through trials, going through tests. But God, we thank You that You are with us, and we thank You You have a great purpose in mind, Lord. You're out to build us up. You're out to develop us more and more into Your image. You're out to work humility and brokenness through the process. So, Father, we don't want to miss out on the test of faith being much more precious than of gold. So, Lord, we yield afresh to You now. I ask You, dear God, search us, cleanse us, fill us, and those that are here that, Father, are not in the family, their heart, and that today will be a special day where they realize that they're not in control, but You're in control, and therefore, Father God, we can take our hands off our life and say, oh, precious God, have Your will and way with me now, and whatever time I've got left here on this planet Earth, that God, You'll use it for Your glory and for your honor. And so, Lord, thank you now. We bless you now. We praise you now for the breakthroughs. Lord, I thank you. Give us eyes, Father God, to look down the road. Father, help us to have not hindsight, but Lord, foresight to see where, dear Lord, you're taking us. But we must go through what we're going through now in order to get to the other side. And we say, hallelujah, hallelujah, because you're worthy. And we bless you now for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that how, God, you're going to impart to us faith today, our trust in you, our dependence upon you. And Lord, thank you that these troubles and trials, Father, we see them as a tool in the master's hand. And so, dear Lord, again, we just trust you now that you'll forgive us of complaining and murmuring and, Lord, just trying to escape the mighty hand of the Master Potter. But God, you'll give us that submissive spirit, Father God, to do and to be and to, Lord, go where you want us to go. And we love you now and give you glory. I thank you for saving me and changing me, and thank you what you're going to do today. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. We all go through these tests. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and the glory of our Lord Jesus. You've got to be tried by the fire, but you're going to come out like gold. And that is the message of Job's experience. Now then, for a moment, I want you to follow with me in this first part of the message. Where is our faith going to be tested? And what should you do? Some of you are going through tests right now. You say, if I could just only meet the right person. Some of you are thinking, if I could only get out of debt. Some of you are saying, if I could just get the right job. Some of you are saying that if I could just have appreciation for my children. Some of you are saying right now that, I just have a meaningless life. If I could find some meaning in life. Some of you are saying, if somebody would just love me. If I could just see somehow, some way, through the darkness and through the fire, what God's up to in my life. Hey, look, we're going to talk about that because our faith is going to be put to the test. If I can get through it, I know I can get to it. And some of us are being tested. Oh, yes, we are today. So, number one, where are you going to be tested? Going to be tested. And what should you do? There's three in the account of Job. I want you to follow with me. First of all, we've got just Job. Then we've got the dirty devil. And next we've got the great God. I want you to see as the book of Job unfolds. He knows my ways. Say it with me. He knows my ways. Say it with me. He knows my ways. One more time. He knows my ways. And when he has tried me. And when he had tried me. Say it with me. And when he had tried me. One more time. I shall come forth like gold. Say it with me. I shall come forth like gold. And see, that's the key to the whole essence of being tested and tried. When he had tried me. Now there is, first of all, just Job. In the book of Job, chapter 1, we're introduced to this man. He's a righteous man. He's a holy man. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of God. He's a man of faith. He's a man of vision. He's a man of wealth. I mean, God has blessed him beyond. Man who is a man after God's own heart. How many of us men say, man, I want to be a man after God's own heart? And Job was. And yet we find out in the book of Job, though he had this wealth, sheep and camel and oxen, 7 sons, 3 daughters, and yet we find out just Job is going to be put to the test. Is there something Job has done wrong? Is there sin in Job's life that caused all this problem? No, absolutely not. At least not in the beginning. Perhaps there was some little bit of self-righteousness that emerged after the testing of his faith. But originally, it had nothing to do with sin in Job's life. However, there is some a result of sin. There is some suffering, beloved, that we suffer because of sin. Make no mistake about it. I mean, I can give it a couple of examples. For example, person smoked for 70 years, 80 years, and get lung cancer. I mean, they can't blame that on God. Hello. There's some suffering that we have is a result of our own choices. However, at the same time, some suffering is not necessarily related to sin, but it's just for the glory of God. For example, in the book of John chapter 9, blind man, the Lord said, it's not his sinner's parents, but for the glory of God. So therefore, God sometimes just allow suffering for his glory. We don't understand it here below. I don't understand how Jesus Christ, 33 years old, would die on the cross. And yet I understand why he died, but yet it looks like a failure on the part of man. Why would a man 33 in the prime of his life die on a cross? God has a plan. God has a purpose. We just have to look at things from the biblical perspective rather than the human perspective. Somebody say amen. And that's the key. But wait a minute. Some suffering is just to purify the saints. We'll see that in the case of Job. First, there's just Job. He turns from evil. And yet he prays for his children. But now I want to introduce you to the dirty devil. That's right. There was a day when the sons of God and Satan came before God. Anytime you see the word sons of God, it seems apparent, according to some, and my personal opinion, it's none other than the angels. The sons of God come before God and Satan as well. We're still in the book of Job chapter 1. And you know what the dirty devil does? He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Make no mistake about it. The devil is not your friend. And the enemy does not play by the rules. He would love to take you down. He would love to take you out. He would love to wreck your testimony and ruin your absolute destiny. In fact, he would deceive you to make you think that you're good enough to go to heaven without the blood of the Lamb of God. He would try to mislead you in thinking that once you've been redeemed and once you've been bought with the blood of the Lamb, that you can do your own thing and you can live the Christian life apart from God and just do the best you can. But I came to tell you today, the devil's a liar. I said he's a liar. I said in John 8:44, he's the father of lies, and therefore we need to see him as he really is. Make no mistake about it. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God. There's a real devil. He's not a man with a pitchfork in his hand, with horns on his head and a tail behind him. He is a fallen angel, and he is out to wreck your life and my life. Therefore, we need to understand the victory is in Jesus. Oh, yes, it is. And therefore, the Lord Jesus has won the battle. He stripped and spoiled principalities and made a public open display of them, conquering, triumphing over them in it, according to Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. In fact, the Word of God teaches in Romans chapter 16 and verse 20, Paul wrote and said, "May the God of peace shortly bruise Satan under your heels." I love what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19. He said, "Behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall any means by hurt you." Yes, I'm saying Peter wrote and said, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." That word devour means gulp down. He can eat you up and spit you out in a minute. And you and I are no match for the supernatural forces of darkness. Therefore, we need the blood of the Lamb. Amen. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives or the death. That's Revelation 12 and verse number 11. And he's strong, yes. But I know one stronger than him. And therefore, we have victory in Jesus. Oh, listen. The dirty devil, he comes to God. And you know what he said? And I'm paraphrasing in my sanctified imagination. The devil says this: God, he comes before God and says, "I've deceived all these other ones. Look at all the mass that are following me today." How many believe that a lot of folks are following the devil today? Wide and broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many will choose therein. Straight and narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life, and few there be that find it. I can hear the devil say, God, look at all those people that think that I'm telling them the truth, and now I'm going to get your servant Job. And God says, wait a minute, look at my servant Job. Have you considered my servant Job? The devil says, yeah, I've considered your servant Job. He's just a blessed man beyond pleasure. Look at all he's got going for him. He's got every, look at his blessings. He's blessed materially. He's blessed spiritually. He's got a good family. He's got a good ministry. He's got a good legacy. You just take some of his blessings away from him and he'll curse you to your face. That's what the devil said. It's easy to praise God when things are going good, when it's not easy to praise God and when things aren't going good. But listen, brother and sister, what you're made of is going to come out when you go through a test and a trial. The testing of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire. And the devil says, I challenge you, God. Take away his blessings. Hey, I want to ask you a question. How many of you are blessed materially? Let me see your hand. Wonder if some of those material blessings started flying away, would you still praise God? Would you still come to church? Would you still serve God? Are you just serving God for naught? You and I don't really know what we'd do. We would hope we would still serve God. We would pray that we would still be right with God. But if you don't think the old ugly flesh is still in you, you let some of those things start escaping from you, and you'll see how ugly the flesh can get. Can I get an amen? Oh, yeah. Where are you going to be tested, and what should you do? Then we've got the great God. God says, like a dog on a leash. I love it. The devil's on a leash. He can't have any more power than God gives him. And God says, all right, you go ahead, and yet don't take the life of Job. And you know the count? One calamity after another. Boom! Just like lightning splashes out of the strike one, strike two, strike three. Boom! I mean, it's just like that. One minute, he's on the mountain, Job. The next minute, he's in the valley. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Listen to me. It's in the valley we learn to lean. It's in the valley we learn to grow. Hey, can I tell you something, Buck? When I came up outside, the outside really looks good, doesn't it? The grass and the trees and all. When I first came up, about a week ago, my friend, I came up to the parking lot. I looked out there, and I was looking for those great big Bradford pear trees out there. And, man, I saw a little stump out there. I said, they're dead. I said, he's done killed them things. It looks like they're dead. Come on, can I get somebody to say amen? It looks like they're dead. Y'all know they're not dead, but it looks like they are. It looks like they're over. No, they're not. In fact, they're going to bring forth more fruit. I'm telling you, Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, prunes it. That's John 15. That it might bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean to the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine. And no more can you except you abide in me. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. And so I'm telling you this, there are times and seasons in our life when God cuts the limbs back to produce more fruit. Don't miss that, beloved, because if you miss that, you'll say, dear God, what are you up to in my life? The test of faith, the best of faith, and the rest of faith. Faith put to the test. He knows my ways, but if when he tries me, I shall come forth like gold. Hey, don't get stuck in your test. Don't get stuck there. Don't spin your wheels right there. And well, I'm never going to get out of here, and I don't know what God's up to, and just throw a little big pity party. I know we do that at first, and even Job experienced it, but wait a minute. Job experienced quite a bit more, and yet if you can just somehow, some way say, if I can just get through it, I know I'm going to get to it. I know I'm going to get to the blessing. I know I'm going to make it to the other side. I don't know when. I don't know how, but I know I'm going to get to the other side. If that was worth coming to church for somebody. I don't know who you are, somebody that was worth coming to church for today to tell you that God's going to bring you to the other side. Hey, when God tells you he's going to bring you to the other side, you can shout. I don't know if God, have you ever been to a real trouble and a trial in your life and the Lord said, hey, son, everything's going to be okay. I'm still on my throne. Woo! I'm telling you, want to shout. But we go through troubles and trials in life where our faith is put to the test. Here, it's where our faith's put to the test. You ready to write these down? Number one, our family. Our faith is going to be put to the test in our family. Number two, our faith is going to be put to the test in our testimony. Number three, our faith is going to be put to test in the ministry that God has called you into. You say, Pastor, I'm not in the ministry. If you're a Christian, you're in the ministry. Hello. It doesn't mean necessarily in full-time ministry, but God's called you to the ministry. You say, show me the Bible. I'm glad you said that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, teachers, and pastors, teachers, evangelists. Why? For the equipping of the saints, the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Do you really know my biblical role as a pastor is to equip you to do the ministry? I thought, Pastor, your job was to do all that. No, you and I serve the Lord together. But really, if you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, my responsibility is to equip you, to you do the work of the ministry as well. That's a biblical New Testament principle anyway. And by the way, you do have a ministry. You do realize that, don't you? Every Christian has a ministry. How many believe that? All right, let me ask you a question. How's the ministry going? How's your ministry going? Tell me, what are you doing? Tell me, what are you doing for God? Hey, the devil's going to try to wreck your testimony, your family, and your ministry. And then he's going to try, lastly, to wreck your legacy. And he knows if he can get one, he'll get this area and that area. Kind of reminds me of the story of the father that had the son. You may have heard about the father that had the son. His son just got his learner's license, and so he was driving. Isn't that a blessing to drive? Anyway, he said to his dad, Dad, I sure would like to get a car now. Now I'm driving. How about thinking about getting me a car? The dad said, well, I'll tell you what, son. His dad was a Christian, by the way. He said, son, I'll tell you what. If you start bringing up your grades, and if you start reading the Bible, and if you cut your hair, I'll think about getting you a car. The little boy said, that sounds like a good deal to me. So about a month later, he came to his dad. He said, Dad, I sure would love to have a car. What do you think? His dad said, well, you have been bringing up your grades. And he said, you've been reading your Bible. He said, but you hadn't cut your hair. And the old boy said to his dad, he said, well, Dad, you know, I read in the Bible where Moses had long hair. And I read in the Bible over there, Daddy, where Samson had long hair. And I think I read where Jesus had long hair. And the daddy said, you're right. And they walked everywhere they went. Test of the faith, right? Hey, look, where are you going to be tested? And what should you do? What should you do? Hey, look, here's the bottom line on this first point, and it's this. He knows my ways. Now, one minute Job is in the sunshine. The next minute, he's in a torrential downpour. Lightning is flashing. A storm's coming up. The devil says, I got him now. Next thing you know, you see him, seven sons, three daughters killed. They're having a party. Some believe it was a birthday party. Perhaps they were singing happy birthday. I don't know. But I know this. A windstorm came up. You just think you're going through a lot. 10 children. Boom. Gone. Dead. Going to the cemetery, burying 10 children. Wow. And then, on top of that, the devil says, I'm not finished with him yet. Oh, no. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I'm not finished with him yet. If I can get through it, I know I can get to it. He knows my ways. And when he tried me, I'll come forth like gold. And the devil says, just God, he's not cursed you yet, but you just take away his health. He'll curse you. Tell you what. When your health begins to fail, when you get on your back and you start looking up, it'll make you appreciate your health. Can I get an amen? God's been good to us, beloved. And God, hey, look at me. The Lord deserves our very best. He does. And sometimes, hey, look, I wish I didn't have to say this. Sometimes we run from the Lord's will for our life. We're too preoccupied about this, that, and other. And God, some of you could be doing a mountain worth of work for the glory of God, and you're doing teaspoon worth of work for God. And God says, I've gifted you too much. God has invested in you. God has invested in you. God has given you that spiritual gift. Whether it's exhortation, whether it's teaching, whether it's administrating, whether it's giving, whether it's showing mercy, whatever the gift might be, God has gifted you. The Spirit of God is in you. And the Lord wants us to serve Him. And He's out to bring us to that place. If it means going through a storm to bring us back to our first love, God will let the storm blow in. God will let the storm blow in. Because He knows what's beyond the storm. He knows what's beyond the test. He sees us more valuable. He sees that we can be stronger in our faith. And so, can you just look toward the greater faith? Can you look toward the greater vision? Now here's Job. He's inflicted with boils from the top of his head down the sole of his feet. Now look at him, man. I just can imagine in my mind these red putrefying sores all over him and pus oozing out of these sores. Man, he is hurting. He is emotionally down. He's physically down. He is spiritually upside down. He don't know what to do. And yet through it all, he's saying, we receive good from the hand of the Lord. How many have received good from the hand of the Lord? And sometimes there's tests along the way. Oh, I would rather not go through them. I would rather take the easy route. We would all rather have the easy route. But God says, if I'm going to make you the man of God that I've called you to be and the woman of God, a woman of faith, able to move mountains with hindsight, insight, and foresight, that kind of faith that says, I will not let thee go until thou bless me, that kind of faith that calls those things which be not as though they were, that kind of faith that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, the kind of faith that says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, the kind of faith that says even the dogs feed off the crumbs that fall from the master's table, the kind of faith that says to the mountain, be thou removed and cast in the depths of the sea. That's the kind of faith that God wants to build in you and me. But you're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. I'm not ready for it. And God knows in order to get you to the place where you're ready, you gotta be refined. You gotta get all that self-confidence out and total dependence upon the Lord and complaining spirits and that sort of thing. He knows my ways. When He tried me, I shall come forth like gold. Faith put to the test. Number two, when is your faith put to the test? And what should you do? I want you to zero in on chapter 23 of the book of Job. And there are five areas, five parts, to, as I get ready to land this message in just a little while, five parts the Lord showed me as I was studying and praying this week. I've not preached the same message before. It's whole total different. God gave this week, and I asked the Lord, as I was thinking about faith and faith in the trials and such, the Lord led me to passage to Job. I began to pray over and began to mull over and really ask God to quicken this in my heart. And in the book of Job, chapter 23, first of all, sometimes when we go through a trial, we don't understand. We just don't understand. That's verse 2. Verse 2. Number 2. Not only do we not understand, but look at verse 3. Sometimes when we go through a trial, we can't see our way clearly. We can't see our way clearly. Number 3, sometimes when we go through a trial, we feel like we're doing the very best we can. We're doing everything right. That's verse 5 and verse 4. And then sometimes when we go through a trial, as he said, he knows our ways, and when he tried me, I shall come forth like gold. Sometimes, listen, don't miss this. Sometimes we can't see the hand of God in our life. We have to trust the heart of God in our life. Sometimes you can't see the hand of God in your life. I find that in Job 23 and verse number 12 and on that verse 14. But wait a minute, sometimes in when we're going through trial, number 5, we just have to submit to the will of God. Step back from the trial you're going through. Step back from the fires of affliction and look and see, okay, God, this is what you're up to. You're up to building greater faith. You're up to enlarging my coast. You're up to refining me and allowing other people to see Jesus in me as I endure this affliction. All right? Number one, sometimes we just don't understand. Look at chapter 23 and verse number 2. Here it is. Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Sometimes when we go through affliction, we just don't understand. We're just not sure. Lord, what are you up to? I'm not sure, dear God, what you're up to in this trial and this test. And sometimes we just have to it doesn't make sense. I mean, why is all this stuff happening? I love that old song. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But we're trusting in the Lord. And according to His Word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We'll understand it better by and by. Hey, look, I don't confess to understand all that you're going through. You probably don't understand all the stuff I'm going through, but God does. And that's what matters. The Lord knows. He knows my ways. And when His tried mouth shall come forth like gold, one sparrow can't fall to the earth without God Almighty knowing about it. Hey, look. He's named and numbered all the stars. Don't you think He knows what you're going through? Absolutely. He doesn't sleep or slumber. Wait a minute. Sometimes we just don't understand. Sometimes we can't see our way clear. Ann just had surgery, or Jerry just had surgery. Ann had surgery. We were talking about it the other day. And who else had surgery on their eye? Somebody else had surgery on their eye. Sometimes we just can't see clearly. We can't see clearly. We don't understand what's going on. Look at verse number 3 of Job 23. Job didn't understand. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Can I say this in love? Some of us are so busy, so preoccupied with other stuff in life, we don't even see we're going through a storm. Have you taken time to step back and say, God, what are you up to in my life? Are you just bulldogging ahead, barreling ahead, just when you get up in the morning, going 90 to nothing? Hey, look, you need to stop and spend some time with the Lord. You need to stop all your busyness. It's all right to be busy, but busyness without brokenness equals barrenness. Busyness with brokenness leads to blessedness. It's all right to be busy, but we live in a world of frenzy of activity. It would do you good to stop, spend a little time, turn the TV off, turn the TV off, turn your cell phone off. Oh, I'm going shock. Bless God, you need to go in shock. Amen? We need to learn to get still before the Lord. That's right. We can't discern what God's up to in our life because sometimes we're just a friends of activity. Anyway, let me just say this. We can't see our way clearly. And sometimes we're just not sure what God is up to. But then sometimes we feel like, well, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. And that's probably what some of us are feeling. Look over here in verse 14. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. In other words, God, I'm doing the best I can. If I ask you to raise your hand, I'm going to say, Pastor, I'm doing the best I can. That's not the issue. Are you doing the best you can? Job was a righteous man. The devil was behind the scene. Job was in the scene. God was beyond the scene. It's good, but there's more to it. And then I want to tell you something. When you can't see the hand of God, you got to trust the heart of God. Verse 10, He knows my ways, and when He had tried me, I shall come forth like gold. In the midst of Job's suffering, now he had three friends to come, give them credit. They did stay 7 days before they started diagnosing Job's problems. Be careful if you try to play God in somebody else's life. You don't know what they're going through and why they are the reason they're suffering to begin with, perhaps. Be careful. His friend said, yeah, there's sin in your life, Job, and you've done this wrong. And Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, the theologian, the scholar, and the counselor, philosopher, this is why you're going through what you're going through. And in the midst of that, Job has defended himself from chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 32 till he finally finds out a man by the name of Elihu. And in the midst of that, in chapter 19, verse 25, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Let's say that together. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Say it again. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand on the earth in the latter days. And after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Can I tell you what you need to focus on today? It's not on necessarily the storm and the test of faith, because your faith is going to be put to the test. But the test of faith becomes the rest of faith and the best of faith. And a faith that's not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And if I can get through it, I know I can get to it. And God says, I'm going to build stronger faith and greater vision and more influence in your life, and I'm going to make you more valuable and more usable if you can just make it through it. I know I can get you to it. And God says, here, before and after, Job was blessed more beyond than it was before the conclusion of the matter. Even though Elihu and God finally breaks in the scene in chapter 38 and said, Job, where were you when I formed the foundation of the world? Where were you when the sons of God sang together in the morning? The morning stars sang together. Where were you? In other words, Job, I'm God. Can y'all look at me? God does not, he's not obligated to tell you or me why we go through things we go through. If you read the book of Job, God never did say, oh yeah, Job, I forgot to tell you why you're going through what you're going through. Never, ever, ever. It's not in the book. God never told him why he was going through what he's going through. Job finally realized God is God, and God is good, and God is going to work my bad for my good, because the devil means it for bad, but God means it for good. Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? Do you really, really believe that? Oh, if I could just get this, fix this person. Well, I wonder today where your faith is being, where it's being put to the test. I wonder today when your faith is being put to the test, how you're responding. What's God up to in your life? Is the Lord out to grow you up in Him? The impurities surface to the top that we don't even realize are still in us, to make us more pure like gold, that others will see Jesus in us. I wonder if you'd stand to your feet today.